And welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. It's just after 3 UTC as we're recording this. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo, yo, yo.
And so we got a few topics today.
Why are we so tired? I mean, can I ask about this?
Because I'll tell you, I am always exhausted at this point. I mean, it's just my life. There is not a day I can remember in recent times that I am not tired.
Well, I'm not usually this tired. Okay. All right. I'm not. Today I will say, look, my work day started at 7:15 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I gotta be honest, the last call I had, I basically at that point I was talking to somebody, but I just said, I usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays I have a gym class at 6 o'clock Eastern, basically, and I'm just like, you know, I climbed in my car, I was working from home, I'm very close to the gym. At 5:40 after that, I just said, you know what, I don't want to talk anymore. I'm going to the gym. Goodbye. That's it. I just cut them off. Okay. They said I'm done. All right, but I guess, you know, typically I'm not this tired. However, you know what? When you have an all-day conference call that started since 8 a.m. and ended at 4:45 in the afternoon, in the middle of which I basically during the lunch hour, well, in the middle of the conference call, in the first break, luckily how it transpired, my wife wasn't home. The AC technician came in, who basically inside that break basically showed me that the AC was shot. Okay, because we walked by. There's something that one of the topics that we had for today.
Yeah. So you might as well jump into it.
Well, I walked, you know, my AC yesterday went and basically it popped the breaker, and I'm like, okay, let me put the breaker back on. I put the breaker back on, and the main breaker for all the power in the house went out. I mean, power at the whole house just boom.
Excellent. Like, that's always a good thing.
And I'm like, well, there's got to be a massive short in there. So I didn't put the breaker back on, but I had to go to the utility room and put the power back on. So this guy came in today, and basically when we went down there and looked at the compressor, pulled it apart, it was, you could see all the burnt wires and mess, and it was just, it's done. I mean, it was done. I mean, it's fried. It was complete. There was no power surge. There was nothing. So it just died. It sucked. It didn't matter. I'm surprised it lasted this long.
And just to point out to any of our listeners who are in climates that are much colder right now, you live in southern Florida where air conditioning is useful even in March.
Even in March,
and certainly in the summer,
dealing without it. Okay, all right. It's not the weather is not that it required it. It's not like we would be right now. It would be, I mean, it's not like unbearable to be without it right now. It's actually okay. It's comfortable. But the problem is that happens to be because this week it cooled down a little bit. Last week was warm. Okay, it actually cooled down, because if it would have been like last week, we'd be sweltering.
Yeah, and this isn't an area like I live in Washington State. If you're shopping around for, like, you know, houses or apartments or whatever, it's a challenge to find one that actually comes with like central air.
Right.
You know, it's not a normal thing that's built, because the climate, like the number of days per year that you really, really are like, oh my God, I wish I had air conditioning, maybe 5 to 10 days a year. You know, some years are worse, some years are better, but they're the ones where you're really like, oh my God, I can't believe I don't have air conditioning, are not that many.
Down here, you need it all year long. Okay, all right, because even like right now, for example, at night, we have two ACs in the house, thank God, which is one of the reasons. But look, bottom line is, look, it's dead. It needs to be replaced. Bottom line, the guy came in during lunch. I went, the guy came back out, did the contract, did the whole thing. You know, so they're coming in on Friday to install it. And but it was just like yesterday, we had a wedding on Sunday night, of all things. Usually weddings are not on a Sunday night. This wedding was on a Sunday night. We got home pretty late. Yesterday, we had a birthday party last night on a Monday night, for God's sakes. We got home pretty late. And then today, the day started, like, you know, super early. So it went, like, nonstop until, like, now. And it's like, I mean, okay. I mean, it's freaking 10 o'clock past night. And I took a couple of a leave. I mean, I don't know.
And you know, I'm being nice because normally I'd be like, turn off your fan because it makes noise you can hear in the podcast.
But I don't have an air conditioner.
I'll be nice. You know, it's getting hot in there, you know.
Yes. All right. So I don't have an air conditioner. So bear with me. Okay. All right.
You know, and I just want to mention, I have not mentioned on the podcast previously, I mentioned a couple times that we bought a new refrigerator, but like the series of events, yeah, this winter, first thing, the refrigerator went out. It stopped working, you know, and
that's a critical one. We can spend a few days without the damn AC. I mean, actually, I could have probably spent a couple of weeks, but I was like, you know what? I actually just had pulled out some money to do certain things with, right? I wasn't planning on this, but I'm like, well, fuck it.
So look, our refrigerator went, and like, you know, we
that's gotta go in immediately.
And so we had the repairman come out, right? We had the person come out to look at it. He's like, I can fix that, no problem. He does something. It starts working again. And
for how many days?
And then, you know, Brandy goes out and gets, you know, fills it back full of food, because of course the first load that was in there was all spoiled when it died. So she went and got a whole other load of food, and then like it lasted 24 hours and it stopped working again.
Fuck.
And the guy the first time had said, this should work, but if this doesn't work, then you pretty much need a new fridge. Mm-hmm. So then we're like, okay, crap. Well, we'll go shopping for a fridge. And you know, my philosophy on these things is like, I don't want to get, you know, new. Yeah, if I'm buying something new, I want to get like the top of the line good thing, so it'll last forever and we'll be happy with it. I don't want to get like the cheapest piece of shit
right,
I can get.
Right, right, right.
You know, and so of course, you know, we went over budget on the fridge, right? You know, we're like, we'll get a nice fridge, we'll get a bigger fridge, because the one we had was always too small.
A nice house, you know, you want to make a nice fridge. I get it. You know.
So we did all that. And by the way, when we're getting ready for the guy comes to take back the repair guy comes back. It's actually a different guy, and we'd already ordered the new fridge, but it hadn't arrived yet. And the new repair guy says, you know, would you guys be pissed if I could fix this?
Oh, good God Almighty!
And so it turns out the first guy had done sort of a crappy job fixing it. So the guy fixes the original fridge. Now he says, look, you know, this is not going to last 10 years on this fix. This will last, you know, it could last 6 months. It could last 2 years.
Okay. So, all right. So it wasn't, okay. I got you. So it was a jury rig. It wasn't going to last too long anyway.
It wasn't going to last too. So we stuck the old one in the garage. We've got a spare fridge in the garage. Cool. Okay. So, and then we're like, and we like the new fridge. It's really cool. It had me out, blah, blah, blah. And then we have a built-in microwave above the oven. And it starts going on the fritz, you know, and it's like, you know, so it'll like start running when nobody's touching it, as an example.
It would just start up.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll just be like, hey, I feel like cooking something. and then you'd try to start it and it wouldn't, you know, it was basically, it's like, I'm going to do whatever I feel like. And so we were like, okay, we need a new microwave. It's sort of kind of, most of the time it worked. It was just about 10% of the time it would do flaky stuff. And if you sort of hit the door, it would fix itself. So we were like, we'll get a new microwave. And then, one day, Brandy's cooking dinner. And all of a sudden we smell gas. And we're like, that's not good. And so, you know, we followed the instructions you're supposed to. If you smell gas in the house, you're supposed to call the gas. Turn everything off and call the gas company, right?
Right.
So the gas company comes out, and basically they're like, oh, yeah, your oven's shot. And they're just like, you know, don't use the oven and your house won't explode.
Well, that's a good plus to know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what else do you want in an oven? So we're like, oh, crap, we got to get a new oven, too. And so we did some shopping around, but we'd already blown the budget on the damn fridge.
Fuck.
So my wife's like, first she's like, you know, let's wait till President's Day and see if we can catch some sales. Because she's also been going back and forth on, does she want an induction or does she want another gas?
I know, she had asked about that. She asked about it.
She really wants an induction, right? And she'd like a double oven too. And just to be clear, my wife is like all about the kitchen and cooking and all this kind of stuff. She spends lots of time in there. It's not like if it was me.
Oh, fuck. Geez, you'd have a microwave. That's it.
Yeah. Well, fuck that. I wouldn't have a kitchen. I'd say take the kitchen out. I don't need that shit.
Okay.
You know, I'll eat out, you know? I could make the kitchen into, I don't know, a sitting room or something.
Even in your dorm, you had a little microwave and had a little toaster oven.
I know. But anyway, so.
Actually, you don't want to have to drive out.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But anyway, so, and yes, I always use the kitchen a little bit, but barely. I've always said, like, you know, if I was single and it was just me, a kitchen is an optional feature in a house. It's a nice to have. It's not required.
Okay. All right. So anyway,
so there were no good President's Day sales on the thing she wanted. So it's like, now it's like, let's wait till we get our tax refund, which we haven't done our taxes yet. We were going to do it last weekend, but everybody was sick. So we're going to do it next weekend or something probably. And we expect a decent chunk of cash back, so we're like, we'll use the tax refund for the damn stove, and so we'll probably get a new stove and matching microwave to go with it, and order that. And then meanwhile, we have a little gas fireplace thing too. It went on the fritz too, so we're like, we have to look into that. And it's like, you know, all of these things happening at the same time, and you know, it's like all of these things were probably original when the house was built. You know, or when the house was first built and sold by the developer. And so they all die within 3 months of each other. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I will tell you that I've had, like, for example, I mean, I have had to replace the dishwasher last year.
Oh, and died. I almost forgot.
My microwave died.
I almost forgot because it was earlier. 6 months previously, we had to replace the water heater.
There you go. You got the water heater. I had the dryer that I've had went on the fritz.
Oh, don't even. I know those are next. The washer dryer are next.
Yeah. So, I've had
the dishwasher's on its last legs, too. So,
yeah. I mean, my dishwasher's
here. We're going to have to do all of these things.
So, I will say that I've tried to shop for some of the best deals that I've been able to get on those. I think I did a very good deal on my fridge. I got a really good deal on the dishwasher and the dryer as well. I did really good, but I just, you know, I will say this, the thing about the AC that just kills me, it's just, they're so expensive. I mean, I'd shopped them before. I knew how much it was going to cost. The company I had to come out to do this one was the same one that did the last one because I already had done.
To be clear, this isn't like, you know, a little window unit. This is like a big ass.
No, thing. It's a big ass central piece, and it's just so damn expensive. I mean, you know, they got to run lines. There's an external compressor, an internal air handler, there's all this shit. I mean, oh my God. I'm like, geez. I mean, basically, I mean, between the two damn air conditioners that I had to replace in the last 2 years, it's been $10,000.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I would have loved to have used $10,000 in something else that wasn't replacing air conditioners.
Yeah. I mean, this is clearly, we did not want to spend, that's the thing. Like with this kind of thing, like if I spend a few grand on a new computer, and I get a new top-of-the-line iMac, or I get a nice laptop.
I feel kind of good about that.
Yeah, because I'm in there. I'm, like, using the thing. I'm happy about it, but whatever. If it's, like, you got a new water heater.
Exactly. I got a new water heater. How exciting is a new fucking water heater?
You know,
I mean, it's only exciting if the water was. You'll be excited maybe for the first day after you've had cold water for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you're excited that day, and then after that, you forget about it.
Exactly. Like now, I admit our new water heater is better than our old one. Things heat up faster, and we have more hot water before we run out. But I'm not, like, jumping up on down every day being, oh, my God, that was the best however many $100 I ever spent. It's just like, it's one of those things, you spend the money because you have to, not because you want to. Nobody has on their list, oh, my God, I want to get a new water heater this year.
Yeah.
Or you know, and I can understand, like, okay, when we do replace the oven, Brandy's going to be really excited about the new oven. We were kind of excited about the new fridge. The new fridge makes much better ice than the old one. I actually enjoy that every day. But it was not on my list to buy a new fridge because I wanted to upgrade our fridge.
You were like dying to, oh my God, you were going every day, oh my God, this ice sucks. Can I get better ice?
Right. I wasn't looking at every day, looking at the refrigerator reviews of the new models saying, this one is the one I want.
Exactly.
I lust after this refrigerator. No.
Yeah, no, not particularly, no.
Anyway, appliances suck. Even when they're good, they're still like, They're not something to get super excited over. I mean, with some exceptions, I guess. Like I said, Brandy's gonna love her new oven. She's got one picked out at this point. She wants that one, and we'll get it for her, you know, as soon as we get our damn tax refund. But you know, it's a damn oven.
It's a damn oven. That's exactly right. It's a damn oven.
Anyway, we do have some other stuff to talk about today. You may be surprised to know that we're going to talk about the Ukraine.
Yeah, we were on the fence on that one. I got to tell you.
And you know, Yvonne, last week you asked, why is everybody paying more attention to the Ukraine than Venezuela?
Well, yes.
And I said, because it has the potential to, I said, Vladimir Putin. And the potential for this to expand so it involves people other than just the Ukraine.
I guess I'm underestimated, the likelihood of Putin going and pulling, you know, his stunt.
Anyway, so we'll talk about the Ukraine. Yvonne now wants to talk about Apple's CarPlay thing, and maybe we'll talk about a couple other minor Apple things while we're at it. And, you know, frankly, you know, that's going to be enough. I had on the list the Yahoo webcam thing. Apple and Linux had security bugs that allow people to spoof SSL and get in on things. Apple made a statement on the environment. I guess maybe we'll do that. I went to the dentist, you know, fun stuff like that. But, you know, I think that's, we're not going to even hit most of that stuff. We'll be back after this. And I think let's start with CarPlay and any other random stuff we want to talk about, and then we'll move on to Ukraine, and we'll take the rest of the show on that. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are.
Okay.
So, Ukraine.
No, I thought you said we were going to talk about.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Like CarPlay.
So what do you think? I mean, I don't know. So today Apple announced, it was yesterday, just before the Geneva car show started, that they've got this thing. And I don't know, have you seen the videos of how it works?
I have not seen the videos. I have not been interested enough to click it.
I mean, there's a cool actually, the one that has a very full video of how it works is because they said that it's going to be apparently the first automaker to have it like launch. It's Mercedes-Benz. They have a whole video of how it works in the car. And it's very iPad-ish. But it does. It's got like a black background. It's got the same buttons, and so therefore you use the interface. Mercedes has this thing they call the command. It's got this little like wheel, the buttons, and you use that wheel in order to like pick the icons that you want or stuff. But the other part is you hit a button, and it's basically just works a lot with Siri. Okay, which by the way, lately I've been using Siri again, and damn it, it's so much better than it used to be when it came.
I've been using it less. I guess I can give it another shot, but
I gotta tell you, I mean, it is so much better than it was at first. I mean, I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff. Send a text message, do this, do that, boop, boop, boop. And the damn thing has just been working and rattling off like quite impressively accurately. Okay. All right.
I'll give it another shot.
So I lately have been all of a sudden using it a lot more than I thought. So they got almost every major manufacturer to sign up, with one exception, was a Volkswagen Group. And the reason is because recently,
I have to interrupt. I got a text from my wife, said, in the list of stuff that went wrong in our house, I should not forget that the kitchen sink is also leaking.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Fine. Well, damn. Anyway, my kitchen sink is not leaking. Okay. Anyway, so they signed up everybody except Volkswagen, because Volkswagen recently did announce an agreement to apparently replace whatever the hell the current operating system that is in Volkswagen Group vehicles with Android. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know what exactly that means or what form it takes, because they had a.
But, I noticed Ford also announced they were dumping Microsoft.
Ford announced that they were dumping Microsoft, and then the Ford guy was just kind of like a little bit like hedging bets, because at one point they said they're going to replace it with BlackBerry's QNX, which I was like, really? Okay. And then today, then when Apple announced on Monday, Ford announced full support for also that they were on board with supporting CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it was almost.
And by the way, I must say, Brandy's new car is a Ford. That sync stuff sucks so bad.
It sucks. It sucks.
The UI, everything is just awful.
It's garbage. It's really garbage. I mean, I had mentioned it before. I've used it before, and I was like, oh my God, this thing's crap. Now, is it usable? Yes, it's usable.
Yeah,
but the thing is that compared to other systems, okay, it's just really kludgy, slow, annoying. I mean, it's just non-intuitive. I mean, it's just irritating. Okay, all right. Not that it doesn't work. It's just really annoying.
Yeah. Agreed completely. Anyway, so we got this new thing from Apple, and other people are innovating in this space as well, I guess. But like, I know. If I was in the market for a car once this became available, it would definitely be a selling feature for me. I mean, right now, what I do is, you know, my phone and my car are paired via Bluetooth. I have a mount for my iPhone above the dash, and absolutely everything that I do is on my phone. When I listen to music, it's on the phone. When I do navigation, it's on the phone. When I do this, it's on the phone. Absolutely everything. And if you had good integration with one of these kinds of things, that would clearly be a very positive thing. Now, the one thing that I am slightly worried about on this is, so far, Apple has seemed to indicate that it's not just an open SDK where any app can get in this. It's something where it's kind of like Siri, where only certain things aren't. They haven't opened it up for any developer to add to Siri, and so, like, you know, I may have my favorite podcast app might not have access to this.
Might not have it now. Right. So it may not work through. And I was looking at that. Now I did see Well, they did show multiple different apps were available. So I saw iHeartRadio and there's some other stuff
It sounds like the way they're doing it so far is invited partners rather than, hey, anybody who wants to take advantage of this, here's how you do it.
Yeah, I did see that. So,
we'll see how that develops. But
so we'll see how that develops. I am one that has now. I bought the car I bought. Okay, it has actually Google on board. Okay, uh-huh. All right. My car actually uses Google Maps. Okay, connected through a currently 3G. They said that I could upgrade it to a 4G later. We'll see if that's true. Through a 3G connection, and basically, it has voice recognition. The maps are the screen's so big. The maps are. I go to my car and I just say online destinations. I want to go here, and it'll. It goes into Google, searches for it, tells me, would you like to be go here? Yes. Okay. Here's your directions. Boom. So it works a lot better than anything that I could have on my phone. So I do use it a lot. However, I mean, there are certain things about the interface, especially with the music and the other stuff, that the integration, if you look at what they're putting, looks really nice. I mean, I would say that I would definitely like to have that level of integration. Makes it a lot easier to use it than just streaming Bluetooth, which I do as well, through the sound system. So I don't know. I think a lot of people. Well, I think it puts the onus. Makes it for car makers to make it a lot easier to just say, why am I going to build all this damn interface? All I got to do is build connectivity to this damn thing. Boom, that's it. Done. End of story.
And the thing that you can do, too, here is by maintaining a level of control over it. And I'm all for having the open API here. But by doing the level of control here, for instance, you're not going to put texts on it. You're not going to put, surfing the web. You know, you're going to put things that are amenable to use while driving that are somewhat safe. You know?
Right.
So, like,
because that was a big thing that they were mentioning that both. Although I'm concerned about that.
I lie here. Like, I'm looking at the Apple's page on this, and one of the example apps they have is the Messages app.
Yes, but I saw that the interface it reads the message to you.
Right.
It reads it to you.
But yeah. So like, because one of the things I have, I use the phone. I use all kinds of apps all the time. I have my choice of navigation apps. I've got like several I rotate between depending on what I feel like and how I roll the dice. I've got five or six different applications that I use for audio depending on whether I want music or podcasts or radio or this or that. And they're all available and I can do them all, blah, blah, blah. However, having that full screen there is distracting. And we've talked about before how I turned off all the alerts and all that crap, but it's still distracting. I hit a red light and I'm just itching to just flip the screen over and see see what's happening on Twitter while I'm at the red light,
Right. Right.
Well, and
you were seeing alerts of shit coming up. They're like going, oh, yeah, I want to read that. Oh, yeah, I want to read that.
Yeah, at least I have the alerts turned off, so I'm not as tempted. But I'm still like, the fact I don't have the alerts makes me want to flip over to the other screen to look at it. And I'm fairly good about not doing that while I'm driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour. But when I'm stopped at a red light or in traffic, I'm like, oh, I can just flip over for a second.
Well, everybody does.
I know, but it makes me once again think I need to just chuck this thing in the back seat. But again, this is like this kind of thing potentially tries to guard against that a little bit. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly.
I think that most people listen. I go when I get into the car and I have the phone. I have it in my pocket. It's connected through my Bluetooth. Or it's in my. I have to wear a suit a lot, so it'll be in my suit jacket, right. And it's hanging in the back. Okay, see. Okay. All right. So I don't. So that way, I'm not even.
You're
like,
not as tempted as I am, right?
No, because I'm not even. I don't even have the phone nearby handy. Now I try to do it that way, unless I got to charge the phone. If my battery's low, then I will plug it in like right by me. Then I got to do it that way. But if I just woke up that day, it's like I can start the day and the phone's fully charged. Then you know I try not to go and have it there. Try not to. Sometimes I do. But I usually try, just stick it in there and that's it.
Yeah. And so I'll tell you, I mean, when I was shopping for a car, one of the things that I had to test before I bought the car, I was like, I like this car. I've been researching this car for a while, but I need to see the Bluetooth integration. I had them let me on their floor model or whatever, pair my phone, play with it, see how it worked. And I had to be happy with that. Like I had to be okay with that because I knew that was going to be a critical part of my experience in the car. And, my wife was less concerned when she bought hers. Otherwise, Ford Sync would have made her buy another car. But, it was a critical part of deciding because that's like, frankly, that's where things are going is your smartphone has a much bigger variety of options for what is available, for navigation, for listening in the car, for whatever, than would ever be in a direct built-in system. And so leveraging that is the obvious thing to do. And how that works is, especially for people who spend a lot of time commuting and in their car and blah, 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 it's important. I mean, it may not be, the number one item that makes your decision on a car, but it's important.
Let me just say that it depends on how automakers go, whether that's true or not. Because let me tell you something. Mercedes is showing that they've got this integration with this. But I will tell you that the recent Mercedes S-Class that they just launched, they launched it. The entire dashboard, they replaced all the gauges and everything, which two massive, about 12-inch LCD displays. All right. Okay. Huge. All right. They're enormous. All right. You look at the thing. I saw it the other day, and it's just this massive display. All right. And they've put in an operating system with software and applications and stuff and whatever to freaking display any types of information, anything you want, and so forth. Now, they put in, I can't remember, I think it was an LTE data connection directly to the vehicle, hotspot, the whole damn thing. In a way that you're like, I mean, okay, what your phone's got, it's just the stuff, but I mean, this is also directly connected processing power.
But here's the thing with all of these type of solutions is that no matter what you do, no matter which car company you are and how low on the price spectrum you go, the number of people with any particular model of this stuff is always going to be less than the popular smartphones. You're going to have a smaller market. You're going to have a smaller universe of apps. You're going to have a smaller set of things that you can do. If you are not one of those people like you are who replaces your car every few years, you're talking about something that has to last over... at how fast the smartphone market changes. Every 2 years, everything is completely obsolete and there's something new in place. And whereas if you're keeping a car for 10 years, that entertainment system or whatever's there is going to look antiquated even 3 or 4 years in. Whereas if you have something that's basically just a display for something else.
But that's the thing that I think they're changing. They're making it so it's not like it was before, where in order for you to get any upgrades, you had to rip it out. Right. I'm seeing that automakers are now making the software upgradable, so you get more features in the vehicle and components interchangeable, so you don't go into that. They will always be slower, and I think that what you do want, though, is that, let's face it, your phone is something that you carry with you all the time that you have, so you do want a certain amount of integration, and you want it to be able to, you want that system to be able to really play well with your data and your stuff,
pocket. You want to have it play well, you want to have it match up, you want to have your everything from your contacts and everything to be matched up completely, which is done by Bluetooth and stuff already,
right?
But also, like, if I'm sitting there with my phone listening to my favorite podcast and I hit pause and then I get in the car, I want to pick up exactly where I left off.
Well, my car does that.
Well, if it's integrated, if it's with your Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it was a completely different system with its own podcast app, you wouldn't have that connection necessarily.
It doesn't matter whatever audio app that I'm listening that's Bluetooth on my phone. No.
That's what I'm saying. If all it's doing is playing Bluetooth audio, of course. But you are envisioning a world where your car had its own app.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha.
Then it would have to synchronize or do something, and they'd have to talk to each other. So, like, if all it is doing is instead doing what Bluetooth does now, which is, hey, I'm going to pick off exactly. You're just hitting play. Like, it's just now you're using the car as your speakers,
right?
And this something like CarPlay feeds into that because you don't have your separate car music app. You don't have your separate car messages app. It's just an interface for controlling your smartphone.
Right. Well, the one thing that I got to say, because everybody has been like ripping Apple on the whole innovation thing. So they made the announcement, you know, Google announced we've got Volkswagen Group. Apple announced today, oh, we got almost every manufacturer on the earth on board. I was like a little bit, I got to admit that I was quite shocked at the long list of manufacturers that was basically everybody.
So now one of the questions I have is, you know, are they going to make these things so that they have like, here's your Apple CarPlay mode, but flip a switch and here's your Android integration mode? Or are you going to get...
I would think that may be in the future, yeah.
Because sure. Otherwise, you're like, oh, that's nice that has that this car has Apple CarPlay, but I don't have an iPhone or an iPad. I'm an Android guy. Does that mean I don't want this car?
Well, here's the thing, though. But the thing is that I haven't seen that Google has created... that
integration.
They probably will at some point,
but it's even worse if they haven't, right? You know, I presume they could do this as an optional feature and they have the non-Apple version of it, blah blah blah, but you know, it's
either you have Apple and you can use full integration, or B, you've got Android, you got Bluetooth, dude.
Yeah, and presumably this would be like an option in the car that you pay $500 extra for, or
exactly,
something, right?
Or something.
So, like, if you don't have Apple devices, you just don't buy that option,
right?
Because it would kind of suck if it was standard, actually, because then.
Well, I don't know. No, it wouldn't be. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it depends. I mean, it depends on how depends much the licensing costs.
Let me put it this way: it depends if it has decent functionality, even if you don't have a phone.
Exactly.
Like if all it does is show a screen that says, why don't you have an iPhone, jackass? then that would be a little obnoxious.
I'm sure that if Steve Jobs were alive today, he would probably have demanded that automakers would do that. But no, unfortunately, we don't have him around to go do something like that.
Anyway, I think we should wrap this segment up and come back and talk about Ukraine.
Ukraine.
So back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Ivan Bo.
Okay, what do you want to say to Yvonne Boo?
Hello, Yvonne. I'm trying to text you via Siri. How does this work today? Let's see. You said it works very well.
Ready to send it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll send it.
All right, let's see what the hell the text says.
Okay, it actually did not that bad.
Hello, Yvonne, I'm trying to text you versus Siri. I did very well, actually. I told you.
Let me try one more thing. Text Ivan Bo.
Okay, what do you want to say to Yvonne Bo?
Yvonne says that Siri recognizes things very well now, but I'm not so sure, and maybe next week we'll have to be, like, a little bit late to the show because I'll be running around somewhere.
Ready to send it?
Yes.
All right, let's see how that
goes. Okay, I'll send your message.
You know, damn it, you're right, it did very well.
I told you!
I mean, it's not quite perfect, but it's better than it was. Yvonne says that... Yvonne says that Siri recognizes things very well now, but I'm not so sure, and maybe next week we'll have to be a little bit...
A little bit late to the show because I'll be running around somewhere.
Really well. Okay.
I told you.
It's doing better. It's doing better. You know, when we tried this a year ago, it was just absolutely comical.
No, this would have been gibberish.
The results were nuts. Anyway, we're back. It's time for Ukraine.
By the way, speaking of that, next week I will be in Puerto Rico, I have not been in a while, especially I don't think I've gone to Puerto Rico on vacation. Because we are going on vacation at an incredibly amount of time. But I think I should still be able to do the podcast from where we'll be. Hopefully, okay. I believe there should be LTE where we're at. So,
If you remember, at least one time back in the day when we were at the college, you and me, I joined you in Puerto Rico, and I believe we took your boat to the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, we did.
And we did our podcast from your boat.
We did the podcast from the boat.
Except it wasn't a podcast. It was a radio show in Pittsburgh.
We did it on radio. But we did the show, I guess, live.
Over phone lines.
Over a phone line. We used two cell phones, and we did the show.
Yeah.
Yes. So that did work.
Even from the very early days, we were overcoming geographical difficulties.
Yes. Yes.
Which weren't all that difficult, because we were on a boat in the Caribbean.
Yes.
So that was not like hardship.
Well, yeah, no, it was not. But Jesus, if you think about it, that was we managed to do that. That was gotta give me credit for having my tech together. That was 21 years ago.
Yeah, yep.
And we were able to do a show from the boat. All right, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, okay? Ukraine.
All right, Ukraine.
We all crane.
Okay, so. All right, one thing.
Yes.
After all the blow up initially and whatever, even like, maybe it's just me.
Things are calming down today?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, because, listen, okay, so, I don't know, do we want to give anybody a summary who maybe hasn't been paying that much attention to watch what the heck is going on?
Go for it, but keep it under 3 minutes.
Okay, so... What I've seen, basically, is we've got, you know, there were protests in Ukraine going on for a very a long amount of time. The origin of the protest, you know, a lot of people say that the main origin was there was a treaty was supposed to have been signed with the EU in order to extend economic ties with the European Union. The president of the Ukraine, who basically is a guy who apparently is very cozy with the Russians, decided not to back that treaty and to try to go with a union with the Russians.
At the last minute, by the way.
It was going
as if that was going to happen, and then...
At the last minute, he backed off and he decided to cozy up to Mr. Putin. Protests started, protests. Finally, I mean, there were deaths on the streets. Shit happened. Finally, the president disappeared. Okay? Nobody knew where the hell he is.
Well, you forget. There was a deal made. The president signed a deal with the leaders of the opposition.
That's right. The president signed this deal, and then he disappeared.
And so he's – well, there are a couple steps. He signed a deal saying that the early elections – and making a bunch of concessions to the protesters. And then what happened immediately after that was a lot of the people behind the protests were like, we shouldn't have signed that deal. We could have gotten more, and started demanding more. And then the parliament started turning on the president and started doing stuff. And then that's when he disappeared. And then the parliament said, okay, he's gone.
Right.
And then we move. So this actually is a crucial part of the distinction, the difference between Russia and the West, is whether or not the subsequent removal of the president was legitimate, or whether whether the president is in fact still the president legally.
Well, let me just say this, that I'm not sure if they've got a constitutional process for removing a president, but the bottom line is that what the information that we found out after he disappeared,
yep,
basically pretty much made it clear that the guy had been either stealing money or getting paid off or something that basically was impeachable in one way or another.
Because by the way, this is not unique to him. And as I've got dogs and children and everything, you know, and Alex is trying to climb to the top of a bookshelf. The dog is barking. Everybody's here.
What the hell happened?
That's really interesting.
Okay.
Good work.
Okay, come on, everybody. Head on out. I'm sure there'll be food or snacks or something. Treats. Go for a treat. Bye. You too, Roscoe. Bye.
Roscoe.
Oh, nice hat. Yes. Nice hat. Okay. See you later, okay?
Look what it says.
Yes, I know you're wearing my big dude hat. Yeah, and you've got a little dude hat that goes with it. Say hi, Alex.
Bye.
Not bye.
Bye. Hi. Hi and bye. Hi and bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
No. See you. Hi.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Hi. No. No.
Okay. They're almost gone now.
Anyway, were rudely interrupted.
Well, and they're still barking in the hallway.
Yes.
And I don't mean just the dog. anyway, God, yes. So that I was saying, it's not just him, by the way. There are indications, you know, that former president, prime minister who was released from jail was also fairly corrupt. And, you know, it's been a continuing problem in the country, and from what I hear, the rest of the region as well, to be honest. So anyway, yes, he was doing all kinds of bad things. He was stealing money. He was doing this. He was doing that. And he went and fled to Russia.
Right.
Continue.
So he fled to Russia. And now here's the thing about this, right? Putin is looking like an idiot. All right. And this is the one thing that people have got to understand, why it all of a sudden Putin wound up being forced to do what he did, because he's got the whole Olympics going on. Sochi, it's his $50 billion self-aggrandizing celebration over there in front of everybody. And all of a sudden, he had done this entire big bear hug on Ukraine. No, I want you to stay in your sphere, not go to the EU. Everything blew up in his face over there, okay? And all of a sudden, Putin is looking like, well, I can't control this little country.
And by the way, the opposition made it worse. Like, you know, it was bad. The deal they signed was bad enough. Putin did not want the president to sign that deal. And the Russian refused to be even a witness at the signing.
Right.
But they not only – they signed that deal – And then beyond that, they pushed further and said, we made the deal, but it wasn't good enough. We're going to push even further.
Right.
And so all of this, you know, basically took. And then, by the way, the parliament started passing laws that, for instance, Russian was an official second language of Ukraine. They repealed that.
Right.
And so they basically started, you know, really pushing really hard and putting Putin in a position essentially where, like you were saying, this was a humiliating embarrassment.
Very humiliating.
And so, and there's yelling again. And so then what happens next, Yvonne?
Well, okay, then Buten basically goes, and after a number of days of silence, because I just think he had no idea at that point what the hell he should do, basically he just started throwing his military weight around and basically just decided to just send in troops.
Although it was very quiet at first, there were apparently mercenaries first took over some of the airports.
Right.
And then they slowly started increasing the presence at some of the Russian bases, and then they started moving out from that. And even then, there's been some dispute where you know, various people in the Russian government were saying, no, we don't have any troops. We don't have any troops.
Yeah, no, we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Really?
It's just local self-defense forces, self-defense. And so anyway, then, and I should add a very important part of this as well, is Eastern Ukraine is very pro-Russian to begin with, and Crimea even more so.
Yeah. And it's significantly, I mean, a significant percentage of the population, I think it's around 60% is of Russian descent. Yes.
And so, you know, if you actually had a voting referendum amongst people in this part of the Ukraine, they might very well say they support the Russian intervention.
That's right. Yes.
Now, obviously, nobody's doing that kind of poll right now necessarily, so you don't know for sure. And there's a significant minority who doesn't feel that way. Of course, it's never a unanimous kind of thing, but it's by no means clear that this is unwanted intervention by the locals. And right. So then the West, of course, starts freaking out. Integrity of the borders and the, what was it? The Budapest Agreement.
We gotta be strong against Putin. We gotta be strong. We have to be assertive.
Yeah. Well, and now you're moving on beyond just the Western reaction, but of course, this is the big push that has been the theme of the last few days. And for the first few days, I tweeted about this. For the first few days, I didn't hear anything else but people talking about how aggressively we needed to respond to this.
And I'm like, my whole point is, okay, what do you want to do, aggressive? I mean, this is what I keep asking people. Sanctions! Yeah, what? Putin's sitting over there at his desk, like pissing his pants over the sanctions right now.
Well, I mean, look, here's the bottom line, and you know, there's no realistic military intervention here.
No,
there's,
we're not bombing Russia.
You know,
Sam disabused me of the idea. I was kind of like, you know, would have been kind of fun, but I mean.
Yeah, no, we're not going to bomb Russia. We're not going to directly intervene militarily. This is, you know, and frankly, all of the arguments that we can make about, like, violating another nation's sovereignty, blah, 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 are immediately shown to be hypocritical when you ask about what we did in Iraq, you know? And so, you know, this is the equivalent of, you know, there being a coup in Mexico, introducing a highly anti-American government there.
Right.
Do you believe for a second that the U.S. would not be taking aggressive action?
Yes.
You don't think we would?
I believe for a second we would be. Yes, we would be fucking taking very aggressive action. Yes.
Now, I'm not necessarily saying our reaction would directly be sending troops across the Rio Grande.
I think we would be sending troops across the Rio Grande. Yes, we would be.
Well, yeah, we might want to. But, like, I mean, like, you look
it's at... It's not like we haven't done it before.
No, we've
Let's
done
face it.
We've
even
done
made
it
in
areas.
Cuba. We said had cubes, troops in Cuba.
I was about to say,
Panama,
you know, well,
Grenada.
The last time we tried to do that in Cuba, we wouldn't even go in ourselves. We did the whole Bay of Pigs thing, and that turned out wonderfully.
But before that, you're
I know
missing,
there was a whole history
year.
Before that. Yes,
yeah,
but I'm talking
Cuba
about more
be,
recently. I mean, and okay, we right. have done Panama, and we have done Grenada, and we've been covert Haiti. We've done covert involvement in a dozen more countries.
Dominican Republic. I mean,
You know, and so we've done, you know, if there was that kind of sudden overthrow of a friendly Mexican government putting in place people who are openly hostile to the United States.
Oh, fuck, we'd be all over that shit in a heartbeat.
Exactly. And the exact methods used, okay, we could argue about that. There would be a variety of different approaches we could take, but we would be incredibly aggressive. We would not be like, oh, okay, that's okay. That's what they decided. That's cool.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
That's just no. And so anyway, and I don't want to be an apologist for Putin here. I mean, this isn't necessarily like a good thing that Putin's doing either, but it's completely understandable what he's doing. And if there's any surprise here, it should be like, why were we shocked?
And I'm not shocked, okay, to be honest with you. Now, the one thing is here's the thing about, in this case, the way that it happened, Putin knows that he is trying to push, but that there's only a certain level to which he can push to. The Ukraine is not a small country, all right? No. 45 freaking million people, all right? It's not like he has the tool. He does not have the money or the capability to invade such a large country and do an extensive occupation. I mean, let's face it. If you take out the Crimea, you take out Western. Is it Western or Eastern?
Western Ukraine. Western is Western. Eastern.
Yeah. Right. Eastern Ukraine. Okay. You take out Eastern Ukraine. It's quite a big landmass. Most of those people don't want the fucking Russians.
But Crimea and a significant part of the eastern part was. It does. Right. And if he wanted to,
he could probably annex that piece. And nobody would be able to stop him.
Right. Now the response to all of this. I tweeted while Obama was talking and during some of this other stuff, I'm like, no red lines, no red lines, please no red lines, please no red lines. Because, the bottom line here, and there have been a number of commentators who've talked about this, it was all the aggressive people for the first few days, but then I think the saner people started chiming in the last 48 hours. There's jack shit we can do here.
There is. That really makes a difference.
The economic stuff, we've already seen
reports. We can do it.
We can only do it to a limited extent. I mean, Kerry's had to say today that the U.S. was willing to do it unilaterally because there have been leaks from the Europeans saying, yeah, we're not really going to do that.
Right. And that's part of the problem because the fucking Europeans need the damn Russians too. And so they're not willing to fucking like go to the mat for it. So if the damn Europeans, who were, by the way, the guys who were, which is the worst thing, they were the guys that were negotiating the fucking trade deal that started this whole fucking mess in the first place. If they're not willing to go to the mat, then what the fuck are we supposed to do?
Right. And so we've got these calls, especially from the right wing, but not exclusively from the right wing, jumping up and down saying, Obama is weak. He's not being aggressive. He's not doing this. We have to put Putin in his place. All of them.
So what are you supposed to do? Bomb him? Oh, well, we can't do that. Well, then you tell me what the fuck else. Because the only thing that he would listen to, let's face it, the sanctions are bullshit. The other thing, we can go to the UN. We can scream and holler and like stop all the hell you want.
And get vetoed by Russia.
What's that?
And Russia can use their veto in the Security Council.
Exactly. It's what the hell is it going to get us?
Well, and people have talked about being more aggressive about NATO expansion. And I'm like, oh, okay, really? You really want to do that? First of all, that's going to be seen as an aggressive move, not a retaliatory move. And second, what are you really going to... What's the end goal here? Like I posted on Twitter, like what everything at this point should be about. How can we de-escalate? How can we come up with, get people to the negotiating people, get them talking, give Putin a face-saving way out of this that, recognizes right. legitimate Russian concerns here and still, respects the integrity of the Ukraine and self-determination, blah, blah, blah. Hell, if you want to have a referendum in Crimea and let them decide if they want to stay with the Ukraine or go with Russia or become independent, awesome. Let them have that referendum.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, and if they decide to go, they decide to go. Big fucking deal. You know, and of course, one of the reasons why that is a big fucking deal is like one of the things that Europe has tried to stick to with some notable failures since World War II is the inviolability of borders. Because before World War II, there were so many wars over European borders that basically they're trying to stick to, hey, these are the borders. They may not be perfect, but these are the borders. These are the countries. Let's not fight over them. And if you start letting, you know, these independence movements and cut off pieces here and switch around here, it can lead to I mean, hell, you got Scotland voting for independence later this year at a referendum. You've got parts of Spain that want to go, or at least significant portions that want to. You've got all sorts of other countries.
Yugoslavia broke up into 100 different pieces. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, Yugoslavia actually did break up, and there was a massive war for several years before things calmed down again.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah, that's what people are afraid of. And frankly, Russia should be afraid of that, too. If they set the precedent that, you know, Crimea can decide where it goes on its own, there are all kinds of minorities in various parts of Russia that don't really want to be part of Russia either.
Right.
You know, so it's a big can of worms. That's why it's a big deal. But having said that, like, at this point, everything should be about how can we de-escalate? How can we prevent violence from breaking out? How do we keep the armed people away from each other so that some random drunk soldier doesn't shoot somebody and set off a major war?
I got to tell you something. I'm surprised that that a shooting war hasn't started. Okay, because I've seen some footage of like confrontations between Ukrainian troops and Russian troops, and I thought this is it. I mean, fuck it, this is, you know, but they haven't, not so far. So
and you know, that just is, you know, restraint on the part of everybody involved. Let's hope it stays that way. But you know, as long as everybody is like in the you know, tensions have reduced a little bit since yesterday, but it only takes the slightest spark to set everything off again, you know? And so even by the time we publish this podcast, who knows, we may have sparked right back up again and had crazy things going on. So, you know, it's important to, like, you know, everybody calm down. Let's talk a little bit. And the last fucking thing we need is the U.S. president making threats. I think even what Kerry and Obama have already done is actually more than they should. And I understand the incredible pressure that's on them to, quote unquote, do something. But, you know, sometimes...
Well, I haven't seen us send any bombers over.
Okay, well, no, right. We haven't done anything like that. And you know, I tweeted this too. I was listening to John McCain talking in various places, right after the president talked.
What the hell is that moron saying?
Well, you know, he was basically being very aggressive and talking about what we needed to do. And he said, we're all Ukrainians now, just like he said, we're all Georgians now in 2008. And, you know,
and we didn't do shit back then either.
No, we didn't. And you know, and things calmed down. And, you know, yeah, Georgia lost that. And Russia took over certain parts of their territory.
That's right.
And you know, and we're not talking about it anymore. I mean, that's if you right. live there, it's probably still a very important thing to you. But otherwise, it's not. And look, all I kept thinking is, like, people keep getting on Obama about not being aggressive enough about this. I am so fucking glad that McCain and fucking Palin aren't there right now.
You imagine them probably, you know, probably would have started World War III over this fucking thing, a piece of dirt.
Or all of these other people who are out there pounding the pavement, talking about how weak Obama is and how this is Obama's fault because he wasn't aggressive enough. Lindsey Graham fucking said this was because of Benghazi. You gotta be out of your mind.
Goodness gracious. Really?
He said something like, you know, when you, it all started with Benghazi, you start letting people kill Americans without any consequence, and then this is the kind of stuff that happens. It was something.
Really? Like, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But, look, you don't, the absolute thing you do not want in this kind of situation is the aggressive alpha male bullshitter who's just going to go up and say, oh, well, you can't do this. You're bad, and we're going to put you in your place, goddammit, and we're not going to let this... No, no, no. You need
guys,
some...
We could... Listen, we you could need obliterate the Russian army if we wanted to, okay? All right? There is no doubt, okay? Fucking Putin knows this, but come on, guys. I mean, let's face it. They do have nukes, okay? All right? What the fuck? What are you going to do? You really want to go at it over this?
Well, and this is one of the things. Like, you don't want to do what Obama did in Syria and give these red lines and make threats that they're not going to follow through with. So this is part of the thing where I think, you know, Obama and Kerry already went too far out on a limb because they were talking about how they can hurt Russia economically, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to be able to hurt Russia significantly economically.
No, you could. I mean,
European unity and blah, 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 but we don't. And if the United States unilaterally cut off Russia, okay, it'll hurt a little bit to Russia. It'll hurt us too. Big whoop. It's not going to make a huge difference. You know,
Don't start making threats you can't actually
follow through with.
Well, that's true. But I will say this. Look, if we decided to put economic sanctions on Russia and the Europeans did, they would be hurting quite a lot more than we would be. That's for damn sure.
Well, again, okay, but it's not going to happen. That's the thing.
But apparently it's not going to happen because we can nuke Moscow too.
But that's not going to happen. You know, don't make threats that we're not going to do. Don't be like the, you know. And I guess part of Kerry and Obama coming out and saying that was trying to get the Europeans to come along. But they really quickly are like, yeah, we're not going that far.
Well, then they're a bunch of pussies.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but they are, because the reality is that they're the first guys that we're trying to do this whole deal with them. Everything is now all of a sudden, you know, the rubber meets the road, and they're like, we fucked ourselves because we became totally dependent on Russian gas over the last 20 years, and we really didn't develop any alternative sources, so therefore we're fucked.
And it's been pointed out as well, it's not just Russian gas, it's also Russians have been investing significantly in all sorts of things across Western Europe. Companies, real estate, whatever you have, you name it, Russians are in it.
Well, I mean, you know, shit. I mean, I remember. I mean, I bumped into a whole bunch of them last time I was in Europe. Yeah, I mean, and people were talking about how they're throwing money all over the place. Yes.
And so anyway, look, you don't need that blustering stuff. The blustering stuff will only lead to escalation. It'll lead to, Putin feeling that he has to be aggressive. We're being aggressive. He has to respond aggressively in turn. Tit for tat, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly how things escalate. What you need is someone saying, okay, dude, what do you really need out of here? Let's make something happen. Let's calm down. Everybody calm down. Let's figure out what the issues are. Let's figure out something that everybody can be happy with, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the counter argument to that all the neocon and right-wing folks are making is, yeah, but you know, that's exactly what Putin wants. He's playing us completely, and that we're just going to roll over and give him what he wants.
Yeah, I don't know.
And honestly, I said on Twitter as well, you know, part of this depends, like, if you know, it's one thing increasing the troop presence in Crimea, which is very Russian friendly to begin with. It would be another thing if they tried to take over all of eastern Ukraine. It would be yet another thing if they tried to take over Kiev and reinstall the old president.
I don't think that's not going to happen.
And the further it gets pushed, it does change the calculus. But at where we are so far, it's like, let's figure out, you know, let's get international observers in there, make some assurances about the safety of Russian citizens, blah, blah, blah. Maybe have a referendum in the Crimea, maybe make it a semi-autonomous region, whatever, whatever, whatever. There are things that you could come up with that would allow, I mean, Ukraine is a very divided country. It's got some factions that feel very strongly about certain things. There is a section that tilts to the west and a section that tilts to the east, and we can recognize that. There's also a lot of intermingling too, so it's a messy situation, but there are probably things you could work out there that have a peaceful result. And when I look at these kinds of things, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people blustering and pounding their fists on the table because of things that basically come down to honor and reputation. And I'm like, honor and reputation be fucking damned. Do whatever it takes to keep people from killing each other.
I agree. I like that philosophy. okay. Well,
anything else to say on Ukraine?
No, I think we pounded it to death.
And we'll see where we are next week. And hopefully
World War III will not have broken out by next week.
Hopefully it has de-escalated further as opposed to suddenly we're in an all-out shooting war.
Oh, we could go and like have McCain go over there and like parachute in there or do something. I don't know. I mean, it's just every time something happens now, McCain is like the ultimate belligerent. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's like, what the hell? It's like, I don't know.
I haven't heard Romney saying anything.
No, not really. You remember 2008 when they had the whole economic crisis. So I'm going to suspend the campaign. I'm going to Washington to solve the problem. No, not really. And, I mean, it's like now this is like McCain's like MO for everything.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
I think this happened since our last podcast.
Yes.
You know, since he's from Arizona, that I guess Jan Brewer vetoed the discrimination the bill in Arizona.
Yes, she did. Which, by the way, McCain and the other Arizona senator both encouraged her to veto it. So McCain is actually on the right side of some things.
On some things, yeah. I don't know. But it's just apparently, I don't know, it's like Arizona seems to be like the source of quite a lot of loony stuff.
Well, yeah. But on this stuff, it's sort of a more fundamental divide, I think. And it's not strictly Republican-Democrat. It's not strictly right-left.
No, it's but not.
There's a group of people who, and I'm talking about foreign policy again, not gay marriage and things, but there's a group of people who very much believe in the, you know, show your strength and be aggressive and America rules all. And there's another group that's like, let's talk, let's make a deal. And those two groups basically just don't understand each other at all. And I am firmly in the let's talk, let's make a deal side of these things. And I recognize, you know, the aggressive folks say, well, you can't make a deal with these guys because they're not honest. They're not trustworthy. They don't want to do this. Well, and that's why you make deals that have all kinds of protections in them, you know?
You can make deals with anybody, for God's sakes. Believe me, I make deals all the time. Believe me, you can make a deal with anybody. I mean, the one thing is how you police it, how you make sure it happens. You know, I just recently cut a deal, and I mean, Jesus, I put so many things in there to make sure that, I mean, if the person didn't honor the deal, I mean, they were basically just screwed. I mean, so you can make a deal with anybody. Okay, that's the reality.
Yeah, and of course the right wing is, whenever anybody's talking about things like, well, let's negotiate with them, let's figure out what their concerns are, let's maybe have a referendum in Crimea, blah blah blah. Everybody's like, you know, that's Neville Chamberlain, peace in our time. You're giving up, you know, territory to Hitler. And, you know, you give him that one thing, he's going to come after everything else. And
this ain't 1938. Get over it, people.
There you go. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, you know where to reach us. Abelsmay@abelsmay.com and Abelsmay and I am Bo on Twitter. We appreciate everything you tell us, and we'll get back to you on that. There are a lot of heated thoughts on this issue and some of the others. You probably have thoughts on appliances, too, because you know those suck. We'd love to hear what you have to say. That's it. Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.